The creators call it, I'm schmacked.
I'm schmacked.
Getting schmacked.
I'm schmacked.
I'm schmacked.
Getting schmacked.
Well, Chris, it's called getting schmacked.
Welcome everybody, welcome to the latest episode of the Smack Club Podcast. Today I have been a little bit of an entrepreneurial month. This month, I've got none other than Sean Lane from Beulah at Wash and Valley with me. Sean, thanks for coming on.
No worries, Sean, thanks for having me.
No, pleasure's all mine, as usual with all my guests. But interesting one this week because you're one of those people I've known since school. Like, quite a long time to know each other. Maybe we weren't that close in school and stuff like that, but knew of each other.
Yeah.
And then now I feel like some of these people have, like, you know, we both have that same sort of mindset, and the paths have sort of crossed, and we're a better place to fucking meet back up than on a podcast.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
No, it's all good, it's all good. So, like, let's just break down straight away what you actually do. So, for anyone that doesn't know the area of Newry, the thought of charging more than £5 for a car wash at one stage was like the thought of charging more than £3 for a pint in a pub. Like, it was, like, unheard of. So, talk me through that initial bit.
Well, look, I would like to think I brought the average price for a car wash well up in the local area anyway. Yeah, so basically, for anyone who doesn't know me, I detail clean cars, for those who don't know what detailing is. Started off as just a simple car wash. Actually, was the whole business idea was just a cash cow for me to get to Australia.
Really?
Yeah, so I was supposed to go to Australia and was in between jobs and started helping out another local detailer and just sort of thought, like, I actually really enjoy doing this and like, I really like getting up and going and doing this every day, so went to my own with sort of an idea and had a location all in mind. And
it was interesting because, like, I remember from school, like, you're like one of the first people to have a car, and like, you're just there's different types of boys. I'm not into cars one bit, like, yeah. And like, there's boys that just fucking love them. It's either like cars or football to me. It's like the two things. Like,
yeah.
But for people that love cars, I always just sit and think, like, you know, you look at it from the other side, being like, this is weird. But whenever I've seen you doing the valet and stuff like that in detail, I was like, this makes so much fucking sense.
Yeah. And it was just like a good follow, obviously, like, from a left school, I was selling cars and all, and it was just a good, you know, I had an eye for cars, and I've always loved cars, so it was good.
It literally made so much sense. Like, anyone that knows you is just like, oh, fucking, of course.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
There's nothing worse I hate seeing than, like, people you see, like, you like, after school and all, and you're like, what are you doing now? And they tell you some job, and you're like, ooh. You know, like, you doing that, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like, so it must be a nice feeling every day, you know, waking up and going to work and be like, this is something I actually have a passion for.
Yeah, it definitely makes things easier, you know, getting up every day and going and doing something that you actually want to do and you enjoy. And like, I'm lucky that I have some unbelievable customers as well, which, you know, makes everything so much easier as well, you know.
It's like, because the big thing I was talking about Sasha, he's in this in the last podcast about entrepreneurship, it's like, you know, taking that initial step and setting up your business. You said, like, you're sort of working with cars and like detailing with someone else, but to take that initial step, what was that like, you know, to actually get behind it all?
It was scary, like, you know, it is. Firstly, you know, I'm lucky that I was in the position that my ones could help me start my business. So, you know, started off just a simple wee car wash and a petrol forecourt. And, you know, it's a big jump because you're going from earning a good wage to, you know, my first week in the car wash, I think I lifted less than £100. So, you know, you're sitting there all day from 9 to 6. You know, at that stage, I was charging £7 a car wash.
Yeah.
So, like, you can imagine, you know, one or two cars a day, it's a slow day, you're sitting watching it on Netflix.
Yeah
My own car was cleaned meticulously every day.
The cleanest car in your life.
Yeah, literally, which obviously helped the business as well, you know. I had a nice car, so, you know, clean, it's good for business.
It works both ways.
Yeah.
But like, thinking back to that stage, how long ago was that when you were first doing that?
So my first day was 23rd of June 2019.
See, when people say the specific date of something, it actually gives
me
fucking
first
goosebumps
day. Yeah, first day, 23rd of June. So
that's fucking mad. There's nothing in my head. That's how I know I've done nothing significant in my life. There's no date in my head apart from like my birthday. Do it sticks out.
Well, like, the only reason I remember that is because, like, I used to keep notes on the phone of what my take was every day. So like, I'd just go on the top of the list would always be 23rd of June. So.
And then for like, say that like first week, you're saying like £100. Did you think to yourself, like, after the first like hour here, like, I don't think it's gonna work, or did you always have that like self belief?
Always had a self belief in myself.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the first, like, in general, maybe. But the first week, yeah, was hard. Second week was hard. Third week was hard. But, you know, I'm lucky that I have quite a supportive family, that they kept me going and sort of kept me grounded. And, you know, that's what you need. You need a good support circle around you.
I love how you, like, honestly just open up and just go, like, yeah, you know, my family backed me and they basically got me to the position. There's nothing I hate more. Do you know when you see, like, these, like, motivational, like, talkers and speakers and stuff like that? It goes, I just worked so hard. But you need, like, there's nothing wrong having it, but you need that, you know,
You do,
the
like,
arm around you.
you need a bit of help, like, and, like, you know, people will be out there saying, oh, his dad helped him, or he didn't do that himself. Like, my dad's never cleaned a car for me, you know. So, and yes, he gave me, like, whatever it was to start the actual business itself. Sure, all I needed was a power washer and a few chemicals and washmen, and that's me good to
And then
go, you know.
because like you obviously had that like the effort to do the actual job that you needed to do, and was that something you like did you first realize that from your own car, or was it like just what really caused it to be like I can go do this?
I think, you know, I've always sort of like ha I've always had been extremely passionate about cars. Like, I always remember, like, Sunday night, me and my dad would always sit down and watch Top Gear, and I was just setting goals. Like, but yeah, just always helped, like, my ones cleaning their cars growing up, and whenever I was selling cars, like, presenting them to be sold. Like, I've always been into cleaning cars, so it's just like I've went to my dad, like, a lot of stupid business ideas, and it's like first time he's like, you know what, like, I actually think that would be a good fit for you, so that's.
And were you one of the people, because I feel like I'm one of these people that's like, I'm always going to work for myself at some stage, like maybe not right away, but I'll work for myself. Did you always feel like you'll work for yourself?
Yeah, I did, yeah. I've always felt like I'd work for myself. I would work end up working for myself. My previous employer always told me I not suited to working for anyone else.
Backhanded compliment,
I'm
isn't
a bad
it?
employee. I'm late. I was late tonight, so yeah, I was always sort of
Because
thought I would end up working for myself.
I think I've probably a wee bit similar. Like I've had some like fucking ridiculously stupid ideas. I think one of the last, like I always write them in my notes. I was like, this is gonna be the $1 million idea. I very rarely would execute on them. But I think the last one was pint cocktails. It's like a pint of cocktail, and you're just like, nah, that's not it. We'll just go back to drunk. But you get them random ideas, and you're just hoping to do one of them. I always say, like,
That's
if anyone asks
literally it,
me,
like, you know,
you're just hoping one idea to stick.
and I've like went to my dad with some stupid ideas, like pancake shop and Yuri and all, like stupid stuff, but like stuff that I think would work. And you know, you just have to believe in yourself that like one of these ideas will strike gold. Like, and you know, I've always had good belief in myself. I've always been like a bit entrepreneurial, like sold sweets in school, everything like that, like. And I just think if you believe in yourself, like eventually you will strike gold. And
Talk to me about the selling sweets in school, because it's a bit of a taboo subject in
you used
schools.
to do it as well, didn't
Yeah,
you?
there was a stage where I
Yeah.
went through it, but like, to me, you're like, if I was a teacher and I seen that, I'd be like, you know, let them crack on, you know, let them do, you know, I get the sort of side of like, you know, sweets in school and, you know, unhealthy and stuff like that there, but like, that's such a key skill, like, that's like, you know, that's someone that's an entrepreneur straight away, and for you to go, just shut that down completely, it's so frustrating.
Yeah, I got caught a couple of times, especially when your mum's a teacher in the school. It was a bit of an awkward one. She always just said, now, if you get caught, I didn't know about it. I was like, right, okay. But yeah, selling sweets in school, if I was a teacher myself, probably would turn a blind eye to it or get my cut. But yeah, it's probably a difficult one for the school itself, you know, because like, you can imagine if that was probably why, you know, the people who did it made money from it, because if the school let it happen, everyone would probably do
Yeah, it's like a fucking, it's like, I don't know, it's like the underworld, like it's fucking like
yeah,
dodgy school things, like it's like
it's
fucking,
like
it's almost like,
Murray Streets in
yeah, it
school.
literally is, it's almost like a fucking like Netflix documentary, and you just do the exact same storyline for selling like drugs, but like a
Yeah,
school show, like, but for
literally,
like sweets, like,
literally.
I feel like in schools now, I don't know, but I feel like there probably are more dangerous stuff going on in sweets,
Yeah,
fucking,
probably, but like
schools'
schools
wages are
seem to be
left.
going the opposite ways now. Like, I know, like, my auntie was telling me, like, she's young kids in primary school, and like, they're not out sweets or anything in school anymore or anything like that.
What?
Like, so, like, in their lunch.
No way.
Yeah, so schools are definitely. I wouldn't want to be in school now, but like, I didn't like
No,
school when I was in it, so.
you're asking me. I hated school when I was in it. Like, and I don't know. I can never really pinpoint what it was. I like to think it was the fact that people like told me what to do. Like that's what I always put it down to. Like, see, whenever I was told you have to have your homework done for tomorrow, immediately I just goes, or what? Like, do you know, like that was the like first thing I thought. But I'm pretty sure you're the same. To an extent, and it's like, you know, school just wasn't one of those things you're
I
passionate about.
just didn't care about school, like,
Yeah.
I actually just didn't, like, and it sounds stupid, especially because my mum was a teacher in the school I was in, and, like, from quite an academic family, like, I think I'm, like, on my mum's side of the family, I'm the only grandchild that didn't go to university, and there's, like, a good 20 of us,
Yeah.
so, you know,
What was that feeling like? Did you ever feel like guilty or anything like that
it's
at that
hard
point?
because, like, when you're from such an academic family, like, it was hard for me to leave school and leave the Abbey, because, like, my ones don't before, like, they didn't really think you could make it without a
Education,
university
yeah.
education or whatever, so, you know, I suppose that was another motivating factor for me to go out and do it, because, you know, I wanted to show everyone, like everyone in my family, that I could do it, basically.
That you can do it. Yeah, it's an interesting one. Did you make it all the way to 70 or no?
I made it to, basically what happened was I didn't get back in for the A levels I wanted to in the Abbey,
Right.
but they were like, you can do this, this and this. So I went back and did those A levels
Right.
and was like, just wasn't, didn't enjoy the Abbey at all, like in any aspect really. And you know, I got to about Easter time and I was like bogged down with the ACT coursework, and I was just, remember sitting my mum down like one night and was just like, you know what, this just isn't for me, like
Yeah.
I don't think I'll be going back
It's
here.
nice
And
though, it's nice to have that relationship though, Joe. It's like apparently you can just turn around and be like, look, I'm really not feeling anymore.
yeah, like it was awkward in our house. Like my mum's a school teacher, my dad's a pharmacist, like they're both
Yeah.
academic people, like, and my brother, he's studying medicine, like he's an academic as well. So you know, it's a difficult conversation to be having, especially when you don't have a plan. You know,
Yeah.
you need to have a plan in place if you're gonna do something like that, and I didn't.
So what did you do after that then? So
So
was it
that
like
was like Easter time. I worked part time at the races for the bookies,
Yeah.
so that season was really just kicking off. So I just went full time into that over summer. September rolled around, went into the tech to do business management, like is it like a
A
BTEC or
BTEC or
yeah, it was
something, yeah.
free I think, but it was just coursework. And I remember just like I went to the Stowell to the racing festival for the week, took a week off tech and just went down there for the week, and I was just like, yeah, this is what I'd rather be doing. Not
Yeah.
like, I went back after that and I was like just sitting bogged down coursework again. I was like, I left the Abbey to get away from this, so like what am I doing here? So
So
get
it's
out of that
actually
again.
the
But like, cause tech, you went to tech scene yourself, it's not like school, you know, you're not in all day every day, you're in when you're in basically. So that allowed me, the fella that I was working for at the races, he also sold cars, so like after tech I was jumping in a car and driving it to Dublin, delivering it for him, getting the bus
Yeah.
home. So whenever I left tech, I just sort of more or less went full time into working for him, you know.
And do you think that first job of like, you know, working at the races and selling cars and stuff,
Yeah.
not to put words in your mouth, but do you feel like you learned more in that, you know, initial stage than you had done in school in terms of what it is you're finally going to be doing? Looking back on it.
Yeah, because I just love the buzz. I just love the thrill, you know. You're working in a business, two businesses that were turning over millions every year, and like,
Yeah.
you know, it was a real thrill. Like, you know, even everything from like the buying and the selling to the running, the pickup cars, dropping off, fly out to England, fucking first thing in the morning. Like, swear on this
Yes,
podcast.
and trust me,
Fly out to England,
anything
fly out to England, like 5 in the morning, pick up a car somewhere and drive it home, like overnight on the boat or whatever. Like, it was just, you know, something different, good crack. No one else my age was doing it or anything close to it at all. Like, and I just loved it, loved every minute of
And how did you feel doing all that? Like, did you feel like people were looking at you, or like, did you care what people thought, or?
Again, didn't really care. Like, you know, everyone else was stuck in school or going to university, and
I'm so jealous you figured it out so
you
early.
know, I'd say like I always have had like quite an old head on my shoulders. Like, just like people my own age, just, you know, they don't, what they're into doesn't really interest me. Like, you
Yeah.
know, going out on the piss every weekend, like living for the weekend is not really my thing. Like, and you know, I'd rather knuckle down and get it done and
Yeah.
just,
Would you have more of like the, you know, the grind mentality, would you say?
well, like, you know, whenever I was working at the races, you know, it's, you know, you're never off Saturdays and Sundays for a start. Or like you'd be working Boxing Day and like the 4 days after it, and you know, I never had the opportunity to have those social nights out or days out
Yeah.
or anything like that. I just done my work, and you know, I was working two jobs, the bookies and the cars, simultaneously.
And I suppose for like a bookmakers and stuff like that, come like holiday events are like big
You
times of the
know,
year.
yeah, no, like you're, as I said, like you couldn't have drinking Christmas Day because you'd be working Boxing Day, and like the Boxing Day and the 4 days that follow are four of the five of the biggest days of the year.
Yeah.
And like Easter you're always in Ferry House, you know, New Year's you're always a Punchestown. Like, you always knew where you're gonna be at those specific dates of the year, so like you never planned anything outside of that, because like it, you know, you give your life to
Yeah,
that shit, like.
I think a lot of people miss the point, right? I think like a lot of people miss the whole like, you know, be miserable Monday to Friday and then enjoy realistically your Saturday, because Sunday you're thinking, oh fuck, you know, I have to go
Yeah,
back to work
well, for
again.
me it really wasn't like that, because like, you know, the cars was intense, buying and selling cars. And then you got your, you know, during the summer you maybe only did a half day in the office in the cars, and then you're away at a race meeting, because the race meeting's far more frequent during the summer.
Yeah.
Like, so in that respect, you know, the racing was like sort of my release, like, because you get out and have the crack, and you know,
Yeah.
it wasn't hard work. You know, like my typical day at the races were get to the races 2 hours before the first race, set up, that took about half an hour,
Yeah.
go get your dinner, come back down, work for 20 minutes, take a 10 minute break while the race is on, work for 20 minutes, take a 10 minute, like repeat that
Yeah,
cycle seven
yeah.
times, pack up and go home.
And you're like getting that, like, Joe, depending on each person, like, it'll suit some people, it won't suit some people, but getting that social interaction and that buzz, and there's money
Yeah,
flowing,
and like
and the
you know
whole
what it
place is
is, like
buzzing.
you know, you can just be standing there and then the next thing someone can run up 5 grand on this, 2 grand on that,
Yeah.
1,000 pound on that, like, and it's like, right, what am I gonna do here? You need to set yourself, have a look around you, see what everyone else is doing, and then, you know, make your next move. And like when you're dealing with like hundreds of thousands, it's, you know, it's exciting, like, you know.
Have you ever heard anyone say that you're lucky that you fell into what you fell into, or like you're lucky that you're at the races because people seem that, you know, it's quite cool and glamorous almost to be at the.
Yeah.
Did you ever have people say you're lucky to be into that?
Yeah, all the time, but like it's easy for someone to say that, you
I
know.
fucking love that, yeah.
It's, you know, and even I see it now, like people like starting up valeting and all, like anyone, like they hoover their mum's car one Saturday and next weekend they're valeting. They're like, you know, it's especially over the summer months you see it, like, and lockdown really was brutal, like, you know,
Yeah.
because, you know, it's easy to do it when it's legal outside, you know.
Yeah.
Do it the last week in December when it's pissing rain on you,
Yeah.
and you know it's, or do it whenever you're trying to wash the car and the water's freezing on it. You know, like
Exactly.
anyone can do it. You know, it's easy for someone to sit and look in and say that, but
Yeah.
reality they wouldn't do it themselves, so.
True. I think people also miss the point in terms of, like, you know, there's by no means luck in how you got here. You made hard decisions to, you know, leave school. Not an
Yeah,
easy
and like I
conversation to
made the
have.
connections myself, like,
Yeah.
you know, like the fella that I was working for, he was a neighbour of ours that like I was good mates with his son, and just by the off chance when I was like I started working at the races when I was 12. So
Oh,
like
great.
what was everyone else doing when they were 12? Like, you
Yeah.
know, I'm not saying like, oh, I'm some like I love work and like I just live for working, but I'm not saying that, but like I was just friends with his son, and his son was going to the races, and he said to me like, oh, do you want to come with us? And then like I went and I just caught the bug, and then like
Yeah.
just progressed from there basically. But like whenever I started driving, that was when I really got involved, because like you could drive the length of the country, you know.
I don't know how you, I don't know how you'd enjoy that. To me, I drove recently from here, from Newry down to Dingle, which is like 5 hours or something like that. I'm
Yeah.
just the whole. I'm sitting there in a Mark 5 Golf from like 2007 first, which isn't the most comfortable thing in the world. But like, I see, I'm like, oh, just I would pay someone to take me
Yeah,
here.
like there was times whenever like I could, like I remember there was one time I flew out to London at about 4 in the morning out of Dublin, so I had to get a lift down to the airport like 2 in the morning. So I was dead on, flew over, got a taxi for about 2 hours down to Kent to lift this car, drove it home, hit traffic in London, was delayed, ended up missing the boat, had to get a different boat. And we had, there's a racetrack in Kilkenny called Goran Park, so I docked in Belfast at 8 in the morning and I just drove straight to Goran Park and not even
No
come
way.
home, just straight down the road. Think from Belfast about 4 hour drive. So like literally, like it was just, the lifestyle was non-stop, so
Yeah.
like you didn't get time to slow down, or you know, you were just on the go all the time, like, and that's what I loved about it too.
So what happens to you then when you do have time? Because you said here so far, like this 18 months has been go, non-stop, non-stop, all this, like that. So what actually is life like for you whenever it does stop, or does it drive you mad?
Like a day off
Like a day
now,
off, yeah.
usually like wash my own cars.
Just constantly wash
I
cars.
just like I really struggle to switch off.
Yeah.
I really do, and it's one thing that does everyone's head in. I like I really don't know what to do on a day off.
You'd rather be working.
Yeah.
That's mad.
But it's, you know, whenever you love what you do, it's not work. You know, it's
Yeah.
so easy for me to go and do something like that, or you know, it's satisfying to get, when you stand back and like there last week finished off a Lamborghini, and like that's someone's sweat and giving you 300 grand for that car, like, and they've entrusted it to
Yeah.
you for a week, and you've done your thing on it. And see when you stand back and that person comes, well maybe it's not the same whenever someone's really successful, but
Yeah.
see when someone like pays the money to have their car detailed, and maybe they can't explicitly afford that, their reaction though, like it's so satisfying. Like it's not about the money, that's part payment, getting
Yeah.
someone's reaction of what they think.
You'd
But
almost be
it's,
def like the payment in itself, not that it's not enough, but you know what I mean? That'd be extra bit of like them like Joe being overjoyed by it, or like shocked by it, is really what makes your day,
yeah,
basically.
like if I'm doing like, and then this is what I find, like really successful people don't get excited like by that sort of thing, like, so like if I'm doing like a really nice car for someone, like a car that like for me is a big deal, like when they come to lift that, they might not get as excited as someone who gets their Golf R, or you know, someone who's into their cars, like, and you know, then you'd be going home feeling a bit down and depressed,
Yeah.
where you didn't get that reaction you were wanting.
So interesting, like, especially with, like, you know, starting a company, you do take it so personally,
Yeah.
don't you? You really,
Literally.
like if someone comes up and says, "I didn't like that," they may as well say, "I don't like you."
Yeah, literally.
And that's what I've got from talking to, like, people like yourself, young entrepreneurs. Like, you literally put your heart in your sleeve with it.
I do, like, I'm like, you know, I do all nighters and like I really do put everything into this business. I'm like, whenever, like, a couple of weeks ago, I'll give you an example, there a guy texts me for a price on a job and he says to me, "That's way too expensive."
Okay.
And I'm sitting there like, right, well, that's your perception that, like, you don't think I'm worth that price.
Yeah.
Like, it's not way too expensive, it's way too expensive for you, mate. You know, like, people are paying it all day long,
That sounds
so.
so cocky, but
And,
I
you know,
completely
do you know
understand what
what it
you're
is? Like,
saying.
whenever I first started this business, I definitely didn't charge enough, and, you know, it definitely cost me customers in the long run. So, like, the advice I give to anyone who's starting now would be, you know, charge what you want to get paid, because, like, see, when you try to jump your price, you're just going to lose those people that you've spent getting.
Oh, because I'm not
They're
going to give
not
you
moving
more.
with you.
I give
You
you a
know,
cracking example
they're
of
here, you're here now,
that. Yeah.
so they're not going up with you.
I'll
So,
give
like,
you a good example. I hope the guys listen. I had a barber there for the last, like, year. I'm literally going to the shop. The owner will be there, and I go, "I'm not going to you, the owner guy. I'm going to this guy. He's fucking unreal cutting hair." And I was like, "I'm going to you." Then he left that place and started cutting hair from home, and I was like, "A tenner I'd give him, you know, just go over and get a haircut
yeah.
every 2 weeks." And then during lockdown, he goes, "It's going to be 15 quid now." And I was just like, "No." But he's really fucking good at what he does. But you're right, as soon as you get that, see, if he always charged 15 quid, I would have no issue with it, looking back on it. But see, once you try and make that jump, there's just something in it, you're just like, ah.
Yeah.
For the customer, like, from a customer perspective, it's like almost like, you know, you almost feel hard done by.
Yeah.
What in reality, it should have always, like, for what you were getting a bargain, really,
Yeah.
is how to, I suppose, is how to look at it.
But, you know, like, there's people will go with different services. Like, I don't know if you've seen so many stories lately. I've been, like, putting up about bad inquiries that I've been getting.
Okay.
And, like, if someone rings me and goes, "How much is?" I know they're not booking me
Right,
because they
okay.
want it done today.
Yeah.
And they're price focused. If you're price focused, you're not going to book me unless you have loads of money.
Okay.
Because, you know, if you're just looking for the cheapest service, I'm not the cheapest. So, you know, and if you ring me, you're not going to get a valid tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like I always say to people, like, you wouldn't ring a painter and ask him to come to your house tomorrow.
Yeah,
Do
exactly.
you know what I mean? Like, I'm a skilled individual. I don't want to sound cocky or anything, but, like, I've spent a lot of money getting trained. I've spent a lot of money on my insurance. I've spent a lot of money on my products. So, like, you know, it's not like a cheap robo job, like,
Yeah. It's literally, you're not just taking around to, like, USA car wash that you see
yeah,
fucking everywhere.
literally, like, you know, that's the thing. And, like, everything, I don't have anyone working for me, I do it all myself. So,
Yeah.
like, you know,
Talk about how tough, like, I know we've sort of mentioned it, like, and you work hard and stuff like that, but, like, just how tough is it, you know, the hours you put in on a daily basis, like, to give people an understanding of what goes into, you know, detailing to the extent that you do it too. Because I don't think people understand. You're right. Phone ring 101 podcasting. No, you're
You knew
okay.
that was gonna
Yeah.
happen.
Grind never stops.
So what was the question,
So
sorry?
the question was, like, just tell people for that don't understand, like, because we're talking about detailing, and, like, go and check Sean's page out, the Beulah page, like, you'll
Yeah.
see exactly what we're talking about. But, like, what goes into, say, what's the best package you do in terms of, like, what you provide?
So, like, we do, like, a full interior exterior protection package, which takes me over a week to do.
What?
It would take me over a week.
So the person doesn't have their car for a week?
They just don't have their car for a week, and, like, that's their problem. That sounds like a you problem, not a me
Yeah.
problem.
So you literally take their car for a full week
Yeah,
and
full
just
week.
everything in, like, a fine-tooth comb, go over it all?
More or less, yeah, but that would be, like, full of ceramic coatings, paint correction, everything like that.
Fucking
So,
hell.
yeah.
But, like, the way you do it, it's like there's a science to it.
There is, like, you know.
You're not just taking your Henry Hoover, like, and
No,
just,
well,
oh,
I have a George.
it hurt.
But no, you know what? The detailing itself means to do something safely.
Right, okay.
So, like, you're doing everything very safely and you're aiming, like, where, like, the local car wash is just, like, spraying the door down, wiping it and hoovering it off or wiping it off or whatever. I'm, like, going in with, like, sometimes cocktail sausage stick to make sure the wee bits of dust, or, like, we use steam. So, like, basically when you leave your car to me, it's, like, a certain, I achieve, like, certain levels, so. But it's more the detailing side of it now. I'm just trying to sort of move away from the valeting.
So break down the difference there between
So,
valet and detailing.
valeting would, when I say valeting, I mean, like, interior, of course.
Okay.
So, detailing is exterior. So, like,
Right, okay.
the likes of when the sun hits your car, there's these things called swirl marks. So it's basically whenever it looks like there's spiders webs all over your car. So
Okay.
I remove that, or, like, any scratches and stuff like that, and, like, moved into, you know, we can organise alleyway refurbishment and everything like that, and we'll organise like bodywork. We basically, I want to take the hassle out of people's car maintenance. So like,
right, okay.
If you come to me, like there a couple weeks ago, there was a girl, she'd scratched the whole wing of her car. So basically, she said, I want that fixed. So I organised the repair, did all the back and forwards with the body shop, running up and down. You
mm-hmm.
know, I basically done all the work for her.
Yeah.
And
you leave it with me, and I'll take care of it. Basically,
yeah, basically,
it's more or less like.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing that really blows my mind is that I think I've seen you do, I'm pretty sure this is correct, with brand new cars out of the factory.
Yeah, brand new. That last week had
yeah.
600 miles on.
And it needs work done.
Paint corrections.
Why is that a thing?
Because you can imagine that car's come from Italy, right?
Right.
So it's been on boats,
mm-hmm.
it's been lying in docks, it's been on lorries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of contaminants in the area, especially in like industrial areas like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all stuck in the car, then it lands in a Lamborghini and it's not washed right. They've just done a quick wee wash on it,
yeah.
cheap wash. So like, it's marks. And then your man, whenever he lifted it, took it to a Middle Eastern car wash, as you do, and also washed it with a sponge himself. He sent me a photo of the car and it was just like a wee Halfords bucket with a sponge
see.
Inside it. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, but why would you buy yourself a Lamborghini if you're going to do that to it?
Basically.
Do you think that's a common thing people do? You know, get these, probably just don't really understand.
People don't understand, they don't know, and they don't realise, like, one bad wash can ruin a car, like. So,
really?
Yeah.
See, what I find really interesting, connecting this all back to the school stuff, is, like, you said how, like, you know, you weren't really interested in school, and, like, academics and stuff like that there, but the whole car detailing and, like, the correction stuff in itself is a lot to fucking learn.
It is, like, and, like, you know, I didn't realise until I was helping that other detailer what actually goes into cleaning the car and all.
Yeah.
And it just really fascinated me. But like, if you had told me when we were in the Abbey, you know, you're going to be cleaning cars in whatever, how long we are in the Abbey, 5 years now?
Yeah.
6 years. You're going to be cleaning cars in 6 years. I would say, yeah, dead on, slide on.
Yeah.
It's stupid. But I think that's one thing that it definitely has taught me. Like, everyone should have respect for what everyone does. Because like,
mm-hmm.
even though, yes, I hoover people's cars and like clean their shit out of their cars.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's treated me pretty well, like, and like, I think that's one thing, you know, cleaners and all, like, people should have more respect for those sort of jobs,
mm-hmm.
because, like, at the end of the day, if that's what that person wants to do to pay their bills, and they're probably making a good income out of
yeah.
it, then you're not really one to pass comment on it, like.
Yeah, like, you've heard, like, people don't understand there's, like, different levels to everything, like, some people are happy to make, do their certain wage, and, like,
exactly.
as you said, like, the cleaner is going to, say a cleaner goes into school, they're happy going, they're paying for their house, and say they have, like, you know, maybe they have like 40% of their income left after the pet for you know, the house.
Yeah.
Where you have someone that's a fucking hotshot bank or whatever, and they're spending this fucking ridiculous money on a house, car, things they can't afford, and they have maybe 20% less of their disposable income. Who's happier in that situation? Do you know what I mean? Let
and
them
like,
crack on.
It's like, you know, a good example would be like I met like a fairly infamous character from our year in the Abbey in Downey's there
right.
a couple of months ago, and he was just talking down to me, and he's like, still doing that car cleaning thing, are you?
I hate.
I
oh,
just literally
you're gonna have to tell me it was afterwards.
Like, I'll tell you after, but I was literally just thinking like, you're still busting your balls for someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm following what I want to do. I'm following my dream, my passion,
mm-hmm.
and you're working for someone else 9 to 5 and then going on the piss all weekend. So
yeah.
I bet you I'm happier than you.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like,
even though I work more hours than you, but like, that's the thing with being self-employed. Like, you only get out what you put in. So like,
mm-hmm.
if you wanna just like. Slip in at 9 and slip out at 5.
Yeah.
Like, you're not gonna get too far being self-employed
mm-hmm.
that way. Like,
and like so.
Unless you're working off a really high margin sort of job.
Yeah. No, of course. So, would you say then you find it easy going to work every day, or do you still find like that? You know.
For the stage my business is at now,
mm-hmm.
for what I can charge for what I do, yeah, it's easy.
It's easy to get on the phone.
Yeah. But like whenever I was only in the car wash taking like £7 or like
yeah.
even when I was in. Because obviously I had a bigger shed before COVID and all, and
mm-hmm.
it was stressful because it was expensive when I was in the centre of town,
yeah.
and like I wasn't getting to charge what I can charge now, basically, because it was more volume focused.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, because you've definitely, like, you've come through hard times, and, like, even just difficulties of, like, charging to start out with COVID happening.
I honestly thought my
shed.
Business was over.
You thought it was done?
Like, yeah, it really did, because, like, I never got any grants or any funding or
yeah.
any, I never got a penny off the government to keep
mm-hmm.
my business going. It's just, like, again, with the help of my ones, like, you know,
yeah.
that's the only way I'm still going.
I mean, I'm not asking you to talk about it too much because I know people get all fucking yappy about these things, but like, it must have been so frustrating to take someone's car when there's no one else near to clean it, and then someone turns around and goes, oh, well, like, you know, that's a COVID risk. It would have drove me insane.
Was like, you know,
And especially
it's
when you had
hard
like the
because
COVID
like
police out, if you went anywhere on the sleigh and did it, you know, people wanted you to go do that sort of stuff, like,
yeah,
and catch you.
I'd say I'm one of those people that like took COVID quite seriously, and in the fact that like, you know, yes, probably won't affect me that badly, but like, you know, my parents are, when one's 60 and my dad's not far off, and you know, I have elderly grandparents and stuff like that, and you know, you have to think about like other people, not just yourself, in that respect, like, and you know, I was thinking at the start as well, like, can you imagine if, you know, you find out you got, I know we have all this test and trace now, but you find out you're in COVID, like, try and retrace your steps to like think of every person you interact
oh,
with in a day.
Yeah.
You
especially
know,
when you're being reckless.
Even if you're not trying to interact with people, you still will, so you just have to sort of bear all that in mind.
That's good. It's good that you could look at it from that point of view. Like, I know people are supposed to get greedy then and just be like, you know, fuck you, it's my business, you know, I need to do what I need to do to survive and all. And
but I was lucky, like, I still live at home. My only outputs were my car every month, so, you know, I could take a step back a wee bit and, you know, do a wee bit less. And it was a good time, you know, my brother's been away in uni in Liverpool for the last couple of years, he came home, so, you know, we've always been quite close, and it was good, you know, spend an extended amount of time with him.
I've said it to a lot of people, like COVID, whether, like, I know it was horrible what's happened to happen, but, like, when you look at, like, the value of time, you're never going to get that again.
No,
ever.
And, like, that was a beautiful thing for, like, so many people our age to come, be able to come home from university and live at home again for a couple of months and no stress of anything, really.
Like. And, like, just a chance for, like, people, like, I just know, like, a lot of people I know that are in university, you know, just the stress of being, like, short of money, which is a fucking massive thing for university students. I've been there, maxed out overdrafts, you name it. But, like, there was no need to spend any money. You weren't going anywhere, so you didn't have to buy anything. They, like, food, like, you know, you're living at home, so parents are taking everything in.
Yeah.
Only one person went for grocery shopping in most houses. Joe,
like, that was a good thing even for me. Like, it really slowed. For my left school, I've just been going 110 miles an hour the whole time. Like, you know, it really slowed things down for me as well.
Yeah.
Just, you know, be a bit more grateful for what you have around you.
Yeah, exactly. And I think now it's gonna work both ways. Like, especially for business owners too. Like, you have that lull where there's nothing, but after every bust, there's a boom. There has to be. So things start picking up again. I'm sure all you have to do is go outside, the roads are busier, car washes are busier, you know, like, it all knocks on, like.
Yeah, and I'm busier than ever, and people are spending more money than ever, like, I rent a garage and a car dealership, and, like, he's busier than ever, and,
yeah,
you know, like, it's good to see everyone getting a turn, and, you know, the money's staying here, it's not going abroad on holidays or anything like that, it's being pushed into our own local economy, so.
Exactly. How are you going to spend your £100 history voucher?
I'm fucking going to get it.
Yeah. Fucking storm bastards.
I know, but I get it. But I actually was talking to one of the boys, he's in charge of the rollout in the local area, so it is coming, so.
Oh, it is. Is your place going to be accepting these £100 vouchers?
It depends if I'm classed as a high street.
Oh, fuck
equity,
me,
so.
Like. What is a high street equity? Just a shop?
I presume it just means like the high street.
Because people have been like, does it have to be a local business? Like, am I going to go into like Louis Boyd's in the town and spend £100, or can you go into like Curry's?
I presume it just has to be
a local
like
shop.
A high street business, like not an online store.
Yeah, as long as you spend it in a shop,
yeah,
basically.
Basically, yeah. But I think they'd prefer if you didn't go to Curry's with it.
Yeah, I'm sitting big on
like,
the
prefer
like,
you
black
go into like Downey's, £100 Downey's.
Here, I tell you what, that's absolute shout. I tell you, if I could, I've said this like a million times.
I eat Downey's every day.
I would day if I had full range what I eat every day and just eat Downey's every day. What's your go to?
Like either chicken goujon roll with Southwest or a large chip with goujons cut in half of it on Southwest.
Yeah, the goujons hit different.
But
people
the beauty, but Downey's was like literally one of the only places you get hot food in your area over COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
They were literally one of the last places to close.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
No, it was unreal. If people don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, just go to Downey's
and
Murray's and thank us.
Come
later.
To your area
and
just go to
Downey's.
That's all you need.
My order is chicken goujon roll with Southwest and cheese.
Yeah.
It is fucking awesome.
I
don't
like cheese.
It's
cheese for mice.
No. Jesus, for your chicken goujon roll from Downey's. That's
no,
exactly what it's for. It's lethal, but yeah, go to Downey's. It's unreal. Also, Downey's, this podcast isn't sponsored, so
yeah.
Hit me up.
Yeah.
I've made that.
I'll just cut that bit out.
Yeah.
Other sandwich
other
are available.
Yeah. And other car washes, you bastard. But if you want the best, you know where to go.
Yeah.
So, like, see, whenever you're starting up your company, right? And, like, you look at, I do business studies in university, so you look at the textbooks and it's like, you must identify a way, a segment in the market, and you must do, Joe.
Yeah, like,
is that real?
The thing I've sort of gone for is, like, you know, Peter Jones, he's written a couple of brilliant books about entrepreneur, be the business man, and stuff like that, and, like, one thing that always stood out to me is, like, find something that nobody else is doing or something that nobody is doing well and just take it to a whole new level. And like that's what I try to do. So but I would say like I've done GCSE business, nothing has helped me run my business
Yeah,
today.
I stand by this statement. I learned more in GCSE business studies than I, which is very limited, mind you, because you did it, but it's very limited. But I've learned more than that than having my entire degree of
Yeah,
3 years.
I think we were in the same GCSE business
Yeah.
class, and like Miss Byrne, like I remember her telling me like I never had my own business or anything like that, but
Really?
yeah, and like it's just like yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah,
I don't
definitely.
understand why people
Don't know.
say that.
I honestly don't like.
It's like career teachers. Like, who the fuck ever said they want to be a career teacher? No one set out to be a careers teacher, like.
But like I'm lucky, as I said, that I've learned from a lot of good businessmen that I've worked for, and like my dad, he's sort of like a mentor to me. He sort of keeps me right, and
But
he
whether
has
that.
all these like wee sayings, like just sort of
Go on, hit me with one.
profit is sanity, turnover is vanity.
Like them, yeah.
Yeah.
See, it's like simple shit like that, people don't realise though.
So it's like if you're turning over £1 million a year and making no money, like you may as well be turning over £1,000 a year and
Yeah.
keeping £1,000.
Yeah,
You know what I mean?
no, exactly. It's the other thing is though too, like especially the business that want to pick your brains on this is like to actually get it profitable is quite difficult because you like what you're doing isn't cheap to get into,
No, it's
you
not.
know, and to
But like,
like eventually get that return on it is you just have to accept the fact it's going to be a grind.
yeah, and like the way I did it was like obviously, well, like my initial startup cost was £1,500. So like I borrowed that, got a power washer. Like I didn't even have a Hoover at the start. I just went and bought the chemicals and a power washer to wash cars. So 3 or 4 weeks later, I gathered up to 200 or 300 quid for the Hoover, whatever it was. Got the Hoover, then started developing. But like I just knew that where I was going nowhere because I didn't have a shed and it was raining on me and it was starting to come in the winter, so I was like,
Yeah.
right, I need to get the shed.
Yeah.
So, you know, in terms of you can make it whatever you want, like, you know, if there's ways that start up Valentin and go to Halfords and buy the cheapest Hoover and the cheapest pressure washer or even use their mum's Hoover or whatever, you know, I just wanted to do everything right because I
Yeah.
thought it would give me a better standing.
There's just it's like I think people just have there's different class of people in terms of like what you set out to do. Like some people set out to be the absolute best at what they do, and there's
Yeah.
some people that set out to be like, you know, the cheapest, and there's some people that set like and it's all different strategies. If you look at it like if you actually put a business head on and look at it, there's all these different strategies you can go for. But the thing that will always win, in my opinion, is if you're just better than everyone else, you have to win. You know, if you look at it from just even like a sporting standpoint, if you put in the most work and you're better than everyone, you will win. And I think the same can go for businesses.
Yeah.
If you look at it from that point of view, like if you set out to be the best, it's not going to be easy, and you're going to have competition, and other people are going to push you. But like, to maintain that level of being the best, you will see success from it.
Yeah, and like the biggest thing for me as well is like you always have to be open to learn new things. Like, you know, I feel like I'm nearing the top of my game, but I'm still like was away in England there 3 weeks ago for a week's training. Cost a clean fortune and I had to
Yeah.
stay over there and everything, like, so you know, you're never the best. Like it's always good to go and learn from someone else, even if you think you're up. You're
That's a humility thing, isn't it? Like that's just being humble enough to be like, I can do better.
yeah, because but it's not even that. It's like, you know, you've built your business to a certain level. It's like, right, go and see how someone else is doing it so you can get to the next level. Do you know? And like, if I wasn't doing what I'm doing now and interacting with the people I'm interacting and working on the cars that I'm working on, I wouldn't be doing it. And that's just
Yeah.
a fact. I wouldn't still be doing this.
But and then the other thing is, if you don't keep, you know, taking that step up, someone else is gonna overtake. You're
Yeah.
just wait. You're leaving the door open for someone else to
Yeah.
overtake you.
But
Like
like,
really.
whenever I'd done a big job at the start, I went and bought like a new piece of equipment. So like, I like didn't buy any cheap shit at the start. I
Yeah.
always bought the best. So like, I always worked the hardest to get the best. So
Yeah.
I just feel like if you're setting yourself up in that mind frame, it can only go well for you as long as you're doing the work right.
Yeah, exactly. As long as you're prepared to put in the
Yeah.
work that goes inside it. Yeah, you're gonna make fucking, you know, shit money at the start, but like, again, as we said, it's just about keeping that grind going
Yeah,
and
and
keep it moving
it's
forward.
about your perception as well, like, you know.
What do you mean by perception?
In that, you know, you have to just have a clear idea of where you want to be. You know, if you don't have a plan, if you don't know where you're going nowhere.
Did you set one of these? You know, like people you see these videos and people are like, all right, I'm giving myself
No,
1 year,
no.
and in 1 year, if I don't get there, no.
Nah, not at all. I just, you know, started off in the car wash, built a good name for being able to wash a car right, then was like, nah, I need a shed now. This is just
Yeah.
got a good shed down the town, but a very expensive one, so I knew I really had to bust my balls to keep it. And built a name for what being able to wash a car right, built a name for being able to value a car, then just moved on to just kept on going up and up. Paint corrections, ceramic coatings.
It's interesting. I'm trying to think of like this traditional way in which you build a company. As you said, like, you know, you built your reputation. Do you think you built the company's name, or was it your name that was being built? Or a combination of both, maybe?
Combination of both, like, you know, I'm fortunate that I'm from quite a well-known family in Newry, which helps, obviously, you know, have a good name. But one thing I did notice, like, the first year when I was in the car wash, I went on holidays and the car wash done nothing for a week. Because I did have someone in working for me, so done nothing that week. So I was like, right, you know, I am obviously the face of this business. Without me, you know, people want to come up with, to have the crack with me. They want to have their car cleaned by me. So I was like, right, yeah, I need to be here.
So did you find with like employees and stuff, like just no one was prepared to put in the effort, but at the same time, how
Which
come?
when you're not there, when you're not there, they're getting lazy. When
But
you're not watching, they're getting lazy.
I seen a good video recently of your man Joe Gary V.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a good video of him recently, and he was saying that like there was a guy, he owned his own business, and he goes, "I can't get my employees to put in the same level of work that I put into my business." And he was like, "Of course they're not gonna put in the same fucking work. They don't care. You know, they're there to get their wage and their money and take it home,
Yeah.
where you're there to build a business, build success, build your brand, build who you are. Of course they're not gonna put in as much work." So like, as a business owner, you almost have to take that step back, and it must be difficult. I haven't done it, but like, it must be difficult to be like, right, you're not gonna care as much, and I need to be all right with that. But I need you to give me certain output here, like,
Yeah, and that's
and
one
that's the tricky
thing
part.
you and Sasha were talking about, like being friends with your employees. Like, I'd say I'm quite an easygoing employer as long as you put in the work. Like, but like I will ask a lot of you, but I won't ask you to do anything I wouldn't do, which I think is quite important. But I tried to scale my business far too quick. Whereas, like, what I've realized is I'm better off just doing everything myself and charging that a wee bit
Did you
more.
try to get yourself like out and just let someone else run it almost, or was it?
No. Like, I just. We like whenever I first moved into my new shed, we were cleaning 150 cars a month. So like you can imagine, that's like literally five or six cars, seven cars a day coming in and out through the gates. Like, so there's a lot to manage there. You're just throwing money away at wages, throwing money away at chemicals. Like, now that I'm just doing it all by myself and doing a better job and just charging that wee bit more, I'm doing far better than when I was cleaning 150 cars a month. You know what I mean?
So you just, you had to learn, you had to make that
You
few
have to, yeah, you
mistakes.
have to make mistakes. Like. But you have to be willing to learn too. Like, you know, if you can't make a mistake and accept that and like, right, this is where I went wrong, this is what I'm gonna do the next time, you know, you're never gonna grow.
So scaling the business then, and getting, you know, as you said, like maybe reaching them customers that were more, you know, willing to spend more money on their car and stuff like that. Obviously not an easy thing to do. Even just to get people to come up, scale it up to 150 a month was obviously a big achievement as well. But to get that, like, there's obviously a load of different ways you can do that. But do you feel like word of mouth works best, social media work best, or like, did you have to sort of have your hands in all the pots to make it work?
For me, word of mouth and social media, I'm lucky that I've been able to collaborate with some good people, like Leanne McCooey. She really gave me a good reputation in Newry, and you know, you need, you know, there's no point in going and cleaning the local celebrity's car, go and clean the person that everyone relates to. You know, like makeup artists, you know, like local girls love to know what their makeup artist is doing or what their hairdresser's doing. So like, go and get those people. Don't be going and trying to get like a Newry City footballer or something.
It's not, it's, see, people sort of miss a trick with social media and influencers and stuff like this here, and something I've learned, it's not the person with the most followers, it's the person with the most engaging followers.
Yeah.
So you could have 100,000 followers and 10% engaged, so 10,000 people, or you can have someone with 20,000 followers and 90% of their, you know, their client base will engage with their content and click on their, if they tag you, they'll click on it. You know, and that's so much more valuable
Yeah.
than just throwing money at someone with 100,000 followers when you're getting fuck all out of it in return. I'm sure you've seen it. I'm guaranteeing you've had people come on and they won't, you know, maybe put a bit of extra work in because they have a name about them or something, and they didn't give you a share or something, and you look at them, you'll be like,
Like, I remember, I'll not name any names, but there was one particular local influencer, and I wrote her, "Well, do you want to collaborate? Blah blah blah." Yeah, she said, "Yeah, obviously." So I says, "Look, I'll do this, this, and this. You're on your car for free." I think I'd done like near £200 worth of work for free on her car. Spent like 2 days on it, so it was preset what she had to do, story posts, blah blah blah, because that's where she got her most engagement, not in her grid posts. And like, the girl dropped the car off. She never even came and collected the car herself. She sent her boyfriend down to collect it.
No way.
Yeah, the whole point was she was supposed to get a load of photos of it, videos of it in my unit below my sign or whatever. And she never even came to lift the car herself. And whenever she did get the car back, she just done like a wee scan of the back seats
No
after we spent
way.
like 3 days working on her car.
And then what did that teach you going forward? As in like, well, one, not work with that person
Don't do
again.
anything for free. Never
Really?
do anything for free.
Never for free.
Never for free. Make sure you're always getting something off them.
As in money, or just like make
Money.
sure you're getting
Make
exactly
sure
what you
you're getting
want?
money. Make sure
Money
you're
off
getting
them,
something off them.
so they understand what the cost
Yeah.
is.
Yeah. Make sure they're aware of what you're doing as well, and don't go and like throw the book at them. Just if they're looking something for nothing, wash some paper.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because they won't appreciate it
No, they
anyway.
won't. They
Yeah.
won't, because they're not giving you anything for it.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know? But
It's weird because you have to learn these lessons more. And for some people's business, it'll work. Well, maybe it'll work, but
you have
like.
to think outside the box. Like
Yeah.
I can remember like sitting down in my new office down in that shed that I just moved into. Like business wasn't even on the go 6 months and I was in this massive shed, like, and it was expensive shed as well. And I was just like, right, what way am I gonna get business in here? And I was like, right, I know what to do. I'll sit and write a message to every single business on Instagram anyway. And
No
that's what I
way.
did. Yeah. And McCooey got back to me.
No
That was a
way.
big one to get. You know, I'm
And
like,
how
you
many
know what the
businesses do you
thing
think you
about
wrote
McCooey
to?
is? No matter, she didn't want anything for nothing. She always brings money. You know, she would never take anything
Do you know
for
what that
nothing.
is?
Like,
That's someone who's built a business from the ground up. That's
yeah.
exact someone that just still has that humility
Yeah.
about them and just knows, I know what you're doing
Yeah,
here and
100%.
appreciate it
Yeah,
100%, like,
100%.
and you're
Like,
better off working with people like that, I
I'm
think.
like, you know, I'd say I would honestly consider her as a good friend now. Like, you know, just off the back, clean her car. Like, and I go in there a couple times a week for a breakfast bath or
Yeah.
whatever. And like, it's just that relationship there. Like, we'll have the crack, and like, she shares my shit on Instagram.
Yeah.
And
How many businesses do you reckon you messages that day?
oh, literally over 100 there. And like, some of them didn't even reply to me.
Yeah,
I'm just
yeah,
annoying, I'm not sure what
yeah.
to do.
I was saying to you before you can start recording. It's the same with podcasts. You're trying to get guests on all the time,
Yeah.
and that is like, talk about a fucking job in itself. Like reaching out on Instagram and stuff like that is a fucking handling.
But it's
Like it
funny
takes
now because like
ages.
a load of those businesses that I wrote to now come to me, and it's like you scroll up through and you can see that
No
message I
way.
sent, and it's like, right, I offered to do shit for you for free, and now you're coming to me wanting to pay me. This is pretty good feeling, like.
Yeah, no, that's nice. Because I have it in my head. I'm like, there's a couple of people that I've had. Like, if you don't message me back, maybe you didn't stage your request or whatever, I'll let that go. But there's people that messaged me before, not even fucking overly begging, just been like, oh, I'll have to think about it. I'm like, I know what that means. That means no, I'm not going to beg you.
Yeah.
But I know
If
there'll
they
come a
wanted the
stage.
confidence to say
Yeah, but
yes.
I know there'll be a stage. It's like everything, it's the exact same thing. I know there'll be a stage where they'll come back sometime. I guarantee they'll do. And it'll be like, oh, would love to come on, get a spot. And be like, oh, yeah, I'll have a think about it. And I have no problem taking the low road. Like, it's
Yeah.
different when there's money involved,
Yeah,
honestly.
no,
But
100%.
whenever it comes back,
Are you
there's.
saying you haven't monetized this platform yet?
Are you absolutely kidding me? Like, fuck me, the podcast grind world at the minute. See, the thing with podcasting is everyone has one.
Everyone's at it now, aren't
But
they?
I was talking to Nathan Smith on the Talking Smith podcast, and he was saying, like, we're just going to see a fall off. There's no way. It's a lockdown project for a lot of people.
You know, I think like it's about consistency.
It
Like,
is.
if you just keep at it, like for me, like I remember one of my customers, he's a really successful guy, like worth 40 or 50 million. Like, he said, like, don't worry about the money, don't worry about anything, just keep on doing what you're doing, and the money will come, the nice cars will come, you'll
Yeah.
get the right. Like, I spent a lot of time looking for the right customer base. Like, you know, if you're like a dickhead, I just not want to do work for you. Like,
Yeah.
do you know what I mean?
No,
Like,
I get
whereas,
you.
like, for me, like, I just target like really successful people, because like, if you're worth a clean fortune and you drive a Range Rover, you're not really going to care about paying £100 every
Yeah.
month. You know, I'd rather clean your car once a month than once every 6 months.
Yeah,
And
okay.
it's not just I'm getting more money out of it, it's like it's easier.
Yeah.
You know, like I have customers there that like they're the only one ever in their car. So like the whole car, like month to month, the lines could still be in the carpets in the back.
No way.
Yeah, because like there's no one ever, maybe them and the dog, and that's it.
See, that's the thing. A lot of people don't actually believe in themselves that they can get them customers. Sure, that they're like
Oh,
unachievable.
yeah.
Like most people that like start out things being like, I'll even talk from this point of view, from my point of view. There's a lot of people I don't even bother messaging because I'm like, you won't get them.
Yeah.
But if you brand yourself in a certain way and carry yourself in a certain way, not long finding out. And as you said, with consistency, it only takes one or two of
Yeah.
them,
Like
and then the rest will follow.
if you look at my profile, it's all high-end cars, and that's the persona that I paint. But like, realistically, today I was cleaning the Volkswagen Golf.
Yeah.
You know, I'm never
Yeah.
gonna post that,
Yeah.
because you know, I don't really post violets anymore anyway. But like, my girlfriend always says to me, like, oh, like, who with the normal car is ever gonna book in with you? Joe going off your page. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's the point. I don't
Yeah.
want to be scrubbing seats
Yeah. Because
like a madman. I don't want to clean
I've noticed there's people that like
Becky
love.
from down the road's car that
Yeah.
hasn't been cleaned in 2 years since she bought it. Like,
Yeah. You want to get it to a certain level and just keep it
yeah,
at that level,
more or
like.
less, yeah.
And what is. Yeah, you don't want to be. God knows what these under people's seats. What's the worst thing you've ever found in the car? Are people disgusting, disgusting? Like.
Yeah, use nappies.
Oh.
But like, you know,
People are wrong.
You have no respect for me if you're leaving your car up with that in. Like,
I would be mortified.
The least you should do if you're leaving your car in is, number one, take all your shit out of the boot of your car. I don't have time to be unloading everything and then neatly packing it back in. And take all your kids' seats out. Like, you know,
yeah.
I don't want to be taking your kid's seat out to not put it back in right now.
Yeah.
Flying the road, sand
yeah.
break, kids through the windscreen.
Like,
but,
as buddies with no kids, you have no idea. Like, Joe, the first time you see something, you're like, what the fuck?
See, the first time I had to disconnect the car seat from an ISOFIX point, I wanted to die. It was horrible.
It's so, Joe, something like that is such common sense to like a parent. And then whenever like someone young gets, you're like, it may as well be, it's like a fucking bomb diffuser. You're like, what the hell are they
yeah,
doing?
Yeah, people
thing?
Can't believe it. It's like, you're only, like, when I started, I was only 22 or 21. Like, you're only 20, 22. It's like, yeah, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah, yeah. It's simple things they got, I find, are so mortifying. Like, you're just like, what the it's
I
common
mean,
sense until you know it's
one of the worst things I actually had to clean lately, and I don't know if I should say who owns the car, but it's a very well known local sandwich shop.
Right.
But basically they had spilt a pot of boiled ham and cabbage in the back seat of their car, and oh my god, I've never smelled anything.
I can smell it
I don't
from
like
here.
Cabbage like
that's
so
disgusting.
I've never smelled anything so bad my whole life.
Have you ever had a car that's made you like throw up? No. Or like close to it? No.
I probably shouldn't be saying this either, but local body shop repair, local repair shop had sent me up a Skoda Octavia, which was a taxi man's car that got flood damaged, so you can imagine the state of it.
Jesus
it was
Christ.
Full of bloom mold and all sorts of
surely that's beyond fixable, no?
Living organisms, so I sent it up to my Dublin Road car wash to get done.
No way, just sent it away like.
I just won't do something like that. Like,
yeah, it's not worth it.
At
like,
that stage, it's just like, no, I could leave it up to them, still get paid, still make money.
Yeah.
Do that.
It's something like that, like, unfixable.
Nah, it's fixable, like, but you, need, you know, it's just I will be doing it. I don't want to sound stuck up or anything, but, like, I've, you know, I'm not doing that anymore. Like,
no, yeah.
You know,
yeah, it gets to the stage, you're just like, no, don't come to me with things, I guess, like, it's not worth
it. I'll just price myself out of it, but you know what the thing is, sorry, the beautiful thing about it is, if someone's coming to you with something like that, they want it done tomorrow, whereas like, I'm booked out for like, at the minute, 3 weeks, so like,
fuck, must be a nice feeling.
It is like, you know, people are like, oh, are you busy? It's like, no busier than any other time, because I'm busy all year round,
yeah.
So, you know, I'm very fortunate in that way, but you know, I have good steady flow of work, and it's always coming.
I'm going to jump ship a wee bit here, because I want to talk about our good friend, Andy Malone. Because
okay.
It's fucking like
game changer.
The absolute game
Rise.
Changer. like you're saying, like a lot of your customers, like would you see him as like a friend almost now, or is he just?
Andy, yeah, Andy's.
Like
me and Andy
you obviously
well.
See him different light than everyone else sees him, and.
Yeah, and like at the start he was like that, like Instagram person, but like Andy get on very well.
Yeah.
And, you know he is just another ordinary lad.
And it goes back to like if it throw back to like because I know people just like to you know go from
people love to hate don't they
yeah they love to hate but if you actually put them in comparison to like Leon McCoo who everyone loves right this is a weird fucking jump section but
yeah,
if you put if, right no if you put
there.
The two of them together like she's helped you with your business you know by
yeah.
doing you a favor and he's done the exact same if you break it down in very simplistic ways Joe we're putting you in a story like fucking good lad looking at, he
yeah.
knows what it takes to run a business
this is the thing like people think that I was like torturing him to go and clean his Lamborghini he actually asked me to come and clean.
Yeah, he came to you.
Yeah. So he said to me, like, loads of people are torturing me to come and clean my cars. I want someone to do it right, so you come and do it, so.
Fucking hell.
And, like, I don't know if you follow him that closely, Aaron, but the first day I cleaned his car was, like, the first Trollbusters episode was released, so, like, literally couldn't have got
lit.
Any more engagement, like.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think I cleaned his car, like, 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock Trollbusters went up, like, that day I think he was getting, like, more views on his story than he had followers, so. That's been good to me. Like.
Yeah, it's like, well, in fairness, like, it's like everything, like, you almost need to, like, you know, you sort of, like, you use Instagram, like, everyone uses Instagram, you use it to climb the fucking ladder, like.
Yeah, but I don't treat him like some superstar, like, because,
yeah.
you know, in the grand scheme of things, he's not my most successful client. Like, I have clients that are worth hundreds of millions, like, so.
Yeah, so do you, but is, do you not find,
you
like,
know,
see that first big wash you do, and it's like a Lamborghini, like that, are you not, like, I suppose you sound like, I think I know you're going to answer this, but do you not be nervous to do it and be like, I better do this fucking well?
Well, like, I try to treat every car the same, like, whether it's a Lamborghini or a Golf or whatever, and, you know, I'm a big believer in following a process. So, like, if you follow a process, you can't, like, I honestly believe I can take anyone and show them what I can do, because, you know, I just set you up with a process, and as long as you follow my process, you can't fuck it up.
Yeah.
So.
I think, well, yeah, as long as you have all the tools there.
Too, so.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Whenever you talk to them, like, employees, and you're definitely like, get the insurance fucking wrapped in here.
Yeah, definitely.
And then who else? Is there any other like big customers you can sort of mention out?
I don't really want to be throwing.
No, yeah, throwing ideas.
That,
I'm just
but,
I'm trying to think if there's anyone else that would be like.
One of my customers would be very well known in Down.
Oh really?
Yeah, very well.
Nice, nice. It just must be nice to get to that stage where you have them sort of big customers.
You know what it is? Because, like, you know, there's people who come and get their car clean with you and they don't respect you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, it's nice whenever people who've done that well in life
mm-hmm.
respect you, like,
yeah,
you know.
And do you feel like there's, like, a, you know, a correlation between the people that have spent money give you more respect than maybe people that don't have money, or, like...
Yeah, like, whenever you're charging someone over £1,000 to work on their car, like, they...
My car isn't hardly even worth £1,000.
Yeah, but, like... You know, if you're buying a car, it's a couple hundred pounds, like, what's the...
Oh, yeah,
like,
exactly,
know.
Exactly. It's like...
And plus, like, a lot of these people run these through their business.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, you know, that's another thing for me, like, you know, it's not really costing them anything, and that's why they're more inclined to get it done more often.
Here's a hot take for you, right? So, a lot of people I've seen these days are... I'm not saying any names, but anyway, people these days I'll tell you after. I'm going to just say it. Anyways, in general, right?
Yeah.
A lot of fresh start anyways, and here's how I know you're not going to be successful in business. They'll put out a tweet, and the person that's listening doesn't know who I'm talking about, but they'll not listen to this, so it's okay. Put out a tweet recently saying, why do Chinese's not take card? Why do they take cash? I was like, if you're looking to start a business and can't understand why a Chinese would only take cash and no card, don't start a business.
We'll see.
It's fucking madness.
I try not to go on like that. Like, I always, if someone, people say to me, how do you want paid? I just say bank transfer or PayPal, because you don't want to seem like a money hungry cunt.
No, yeah.
You don't want to be like, give me the cash.
Yeah, just
all
cash
I want's cash. Give me cash. You don't want to be a cash cow. So,
yeah.
Like, I always, like, would say, I used to take card, but it was too, I just got rid of the card machine because it was pointless.
Yeah.
It's different when you have a higher turnover or cars come through, you have more people paying. But if you're only doing one or two transactions a day,
you don't need
a card machine. I just try to keep bank transfer.
But like, there'd be people listening to this and like aspiring entrepreneurs and stuff. If you don't understand why a Chinese would take only cash and not card, don't start a business until you understand why that might be lucrative,
yeah.
Right?
Basically.
Yeah. Fuck, it's madness. And I'm not even going to say anyways, there was one particular girl who's an MUA that did it, and I was like, you have your own fucking business. It's clearly not doing very well. You can't understand something as simple as that.
100%.
But like, that's not even like, you're not going to learn something like that in school, obviously.
No.
Which brings you back to the point of like me doing my degree in business and you actually having a business.
Yeah.
I would almost guarantee, right? Not almost guarantee. I would 100% guarantee you know more about a business than I'll ever fucking know through a degree.
I used to say like I went to University of Life.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Like, the fella that I worked for when I left school, he self-made and he did go to university or. Like, he used to slag me and say, like, you need qualifications, and I'm saying, fuck me, yeah, I'm more than you already, so what are you saying? Just having a couple of GCSEs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely, I learnt nothing that helps me run my business, and yeah, I'll be apart from that and take it away.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah, prime numbers, fucking prime.
But it obviously helps to be well-spoken. And
no, it does. You learn skills.
Yeah.
I think skills are more important than what you learn in school. Like, what for me, like, public speaking, like, for some reason, school. Did you like public speaking in school? Like, you know, you had to do stand up and presentation and stuff like that. No,
I never really done anything like that. No,
I remember like doing it.
Even
like
this for me is a bit much. Like,
fairness, yeah, because like in university, like we do, like you do group presentations. I'm sure people know all about it. Like, and fucking people will be like sick having to speak out in front of people.
Yeah.
And I can never get my head around it. And they're like, oh well, even quite at this, they're like, oh, it's easy for you. You never shut the fuck up. And I'm like, but like, do you know, it's different skills.
Yeah.
But I feel like in school, you like almost like, you know. You, as you said, you didn't really do it. You don't really remember doing it in school.
Yeah,
and that's a skill
I was
that I found so easy.
If I even had to say something in class, I'd just be like a beetroot.
Yeah.
And then like, it's like, everyone would be like, why are you going so red?
Yeah.
It's like, because you pointed it out,
yeah.
And you were all sitting looking at me.
Yeah. I used to be like that. I've gotten way better at control. I used to go whining bright red too. Like, it was fucking unbearable. And then over time, I don't know what it was. I think I crossed that bridge of not giving a fuck anymore. And then I think that's the thing that sort of like, you know, change it all for me, and I was like, I don't care anymore,
yeah.
I'm going to this, and like calm myself down a wee bit. But you definitely, you still get those moments where you'd be like, oh fuck no,
yeah.
And you can feel yourself going redder, and people are like, why are you going red? And then you just get redder and redder.
Yeah, and like, just going back to like why the customers get on with me and all, like, I think it's because like I like tell them, like, if you get a flat tire, ring me. If you like, if something's wrong with your car, ring me, and I like do my best to sort it out for you, like, you know, like. And I think like it's always been that way, like, I
yeah.
remember going down to help a young lad out with flat battery at 4 in the morning once.
people get stuck in all sorts of weird situations.
Yeah.
It's weird how I've eradicated that memory from my mind, right?
I just actually thought about that
one
earlier on this morning when I was driving the
That was actually, that was back whenever I drove my family Jeep too.
It was so funny.
If it wasn't there in like the morning, like, where the fuck where the fuck's the Jeep? I didn't have my own car back then. Yeah, you do some sketchy shit when you're young.
Yeah, definitely.
And it was funny because in the situation, I was like, "There's." In fairness, what you're saying is right. There's one person and that I knew is like, "There's one person that'd be able to save this situation."
Yeah.
Like, and fucking
I
answered
like 4 o'clock in
the morning. And you like answered the call. And I was just like, "Thank fuck!" Like, oh, I can't believe I forgot all about that. That's fucking terrifying.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Really.
You said interestingly before we started that you deleted your personal Instagram.
Yeah.
And again, it comes down to is you're, what are you saying, that it's like a personal thing, or
it's just a personal thing. It's just like, you know, what I'm saying on that doesn't bring it in my life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, I don't need to see people going on the piss 3 days of the weekend,
yeah,
every weekend. Like, it's, you know, it doesn't do anything for me, or
mm-hmm.
it's just like, you know, I'd be a person who probably I'd get like, you know, I'd be sitting looking at like, you know, say the group of lads are out that I'm hanging out with and I'm not out with them, I'd just be like, right, why am I not out there with them? Like, or
yeah,
why did I not get the invite? So I'm just like, right,
yeah,
just get rid of that.
Yeah, wreck your head, like.
Focus on yourself. I would have my Facebook deleted as well, only my business page is linked to it and I have to have it to have the business page. So,
mm-hmm.
But like, if you look, like, the last, I don't think I've shared an Instagram in a year, a personal one, and like, all my posts on my Facebook are like lost dogs or just sharing my business
the important things in life.
Yeah,
like
lost
dogs
are my business page. That's it.
But it seems to be more of a trend now. People are like deleting their Instagrams and like getting off it and things
like
that.
Like, you know, been there, done that now. Like,
yeah.
It's just like, I don't, like, I have a girlfriend and I'm comfortable. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't need Instagram to. I need it for business, but
yeah,
if it didn't, I wouldn't have it enough.
Yeah, like
how I feel it.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's like, you know, business suicide not to have a social media account, like, but
yeah, but
a personal account. No, I completely agree with you. Like, there's,
I'm trying to like transform my business page into my personal page now. So like,
yeah,
you'll
so
start
see Beauty and see Sean. Like,
you'll start to see my face popping up on it. You'll start
mm-hmm.
to see, you know, a bit more of me talking and.
Mm-hmm. Have you tried talking to the camera at all yet?
I haven't done any. I've tried it, never posted it.
It's
but like, genuinely, like, and this is another thing, I'm just too busy on the day-to-day to be fucking videoing myself.
Yeah.
I don't even post that many stories on
mm-hmm.
the page that anymore. And I used to, like, be flat out at it, but
yeah.
I just genuinely don't have time to be pulling my phone out.
Mm-hmm. I completely understand, like, some jobs are looking like, that should not be a job, but I completely understand why, like, you know, there's people that run people's Instagrams. It's,
yeah.
Fuck, there's so much. See, to run, like, a successful Instagram account, fair play to people do it, because you have to have time, like,
yeah,
it takes
like,
so
know,
much time investment.
There could be a month where I go and I don't put a post on my grid on my business page, and it's just like,
yeah.
People are like, oh my god, you haven't posted in a month. It's like, fuck me, I'm blocked out for a month, so
yeah.
I'm sounding like a dick. I don't really need,
I don't
a
need
post.
To. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if I clean something that, yes, I want to showcase,
mm-hmm.
of course I will, but,
mm-hmm.
you know.
There's an interesting dynamic there where you could almost turn the business, like the Instagram page, into its own business. Theoretically, you know,
yeah.
People putting their cards on it and, you know, stuff like that. Like, obviously, like, there's just so many different avenues when it comes to, like, you know, social media that you can have, and it's just
yeah.
another incentive of why, you know, a good page is fucking.
Yeah, but
beautiful.
People will be talking like, oh, he didn't post any stories today. He's obviously on a day off or he's not busy. It's a complete opposite. I'm
mm-hmm.
busier than ever because I
yeah.
don't have time to post stories.
The people aren't talking are the people that are busy. The people
yeah.
that are talking are the people that have no business. Like, literally,
exactly.
is what it is. Like,
exactly. And, like, you know, it's not just about cleaning cars. Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
you have to be the best social media marketer, you have to be
mm.
the best accountant, you have to be the best
mm.
blah 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 banker, everything.
Yeah.
Like, business, like, lots of people don't realize, like, my day is not just going and cleaning the car and coming home. Like,
mm.
my day is like replying to messages,
yeah,
replying to time wasters. You know, I get so many time wasters. People just want to, like, how much is and can you do it tomorrow? And
mm.
it's like, one girl actually double whammied me. She was like, how much is and can you do it in the morning? And it's like,
that's like the two sentences.
Like, I would be shit if I could do it in the morning. And
yeah.
another thing, I'm not just sitting here every day waiting on you to drop your car.
But also, who that urgently needs their car cleaned?
Someone whose baby's been sick all over it, or their dog.
Yeah, you don't want to be anywhere near it. Like,
yeah.
yeah,
and like, it's like, or like, I'll tell you the best one. Like, this inquiry is like, people are like, how much is a full wallet? And you tell them, right? And then they're like, right, how much is a mini ballot? It's like, right, you've just told me your car
yeah.
needs a full ballot. You've just told me it's absolutely stinking.
But
you've also told me you don't want to pay for a full ballot
yeah.
and you just want a mini.
That would be me.
So I'm not touching your car, sorry, mate.
Yeah. Could you do the mini ballot, the full ballot for the price of the mini ballot? That's basically the question
yeah.
they're asking. Like,
or like, people will be like, how much is a wash? And it's like, I charge £20 for a wash. So
mm-hmm.
People don't like
Yeah,
that.
no, I could not imagine. I've fucking heard like a local car wash is starting to charge like around £7 for a car
Do you know
wash.
what it is? Like, you have to believe in yourself, because like, I started and I charged £7, and my landlord was like to me, "You're never getting £7. Like, don't be so stupid.
Yeah.
Don't be charging that. You're never gonna get it." And I got it.
Yeah.
I moved down the town and started charging a tenner.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, "Nah, no one's gonna pay that. You're never gonna pay that." And then got it. And then just started charging £20 because like I was putting an hour of my time, and I was like, "Right, tenner's not enough here. I need
Yeah.
£20 to do this
Ah,
for an
to
hour."
co just for you to fucking cover you,
To
like.
cover, £20 an hour is not even that good
Yeah.
when you take out your products or whatever. Like, so, and people say they would never get it, but like, as long as you can justify it, and like, this is where the sales background comes in, because like, I worked in Donnelly selling cars and all, and Gannon and all as well. You have to be able to sell your product, sell your service, sell yourself,
Yeah.
and then people will buy into it, because like, I can sell.
What is the trick to selling in your opinion? Like, 'cause you see a lot of these people that are like uber successful, like unrelatable successful, but like as someone that just like, you sell cars and you sell like your business. What would you say is like, what would you say makes a successful salesperson?
Making them relatable, making like, don't intimidate someone. Get on their level, speak to them politely, and just try and make a connection. It's far easier to sell face to face, I guess, than DM over Instagram.
Yeah.
So like, I'll always try to get people to come up for a consultation, and we'll have a good chat
What do you
then.
mean, a constant phone call?
No, just come up
Oh,
and
come on,
have a chat,
chat. Oh,
and
nice.
I'll look at their car and advise them what they need best. But like, I'll always say to people, like, it doesn't matter whether you spend 500, 200, 100, don't think this is a sales pitch, because like, I have people that like will text me and be like, "I want the best of everything. I want this, 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 and this, full ceramic coat and everything," but they don't realize what that costs.
Yeah.
So you tell them, and they're like, it's a bit of a downer for them, like, but like, then they're afraid to book, a lesser service with you because they've come in all guns blazing. Whereas like, I always say to people, like, I don't care about what you go for, because like, whether you book me for one day, 2 days, 3 days, it's not gonna affect me. Someone else will fill in those other
Yeah.
days. So just go for what you're comfortable with and what you can afford. Like, I always say to people, like, I respect you far more for making the step and actually getting something done about your car than,
Yeah.
be getting scared off by a price and getting nothing done. So
'Cause I think you've hit the nail on the head there, like as a consumer, from a consumer point of view, that is such a big thing. You're afraid to message someone
If
because
you've just come in all guns blazing saying you want to spend £2,000 on your car, or
Yeah.
you've asked me for a package and I told you it's £1,500 or whatever it is, if you only want to spend £100, you're gonna be a bit
Yeah.
iffy and
Oh,
embarrassed probably.
yeah.
Like, so
That's what I mean, as a consumer, that's a huge thing.
I always try to beat the stigma and just say to people, look, like, it doesn't matter what you book me for here, like,
Yeah.
fair play to you for making the step and wanting to do something about the condition of your car. Like, at the end of the day, cars are depreciating assets.
Yeah.
You're buying cars and people aren't looking after them. Like, whenever you take that car back, people say excuse me, you lose more money in cars than any other asset in your lifetime. So like, why are you not looking after yours, like?
Yeah, true. But then the people not say on the flip side of that, why should I put money into it if it's going to depreciate?
But getting your car cleaned isn't putting money into it, that's maintaining
That,
the
yeah,
car.
it's maintaining the thing and
Yeah.
making sure it's been looked
Yeah.
after.
So whenever you come to sell it, you can say, "Well, actually, like, I get it maintained once a month by Beulah Wash and Valet or whatever it is."
Yeah.
So they'll be like, "Oh, fuck, he actually maybe does care about the car," like,
Yeah. It's
instead
so
of just
weird.
take it to Texaco and brush wash all over
Yeah, tell me about your beef with brushes. Like, I've seen that in your story a few times. What is the crack with the fucking wash brushes that you hate so much?
Well, they're marked the fuck out of cars, like.
As simple as that, like.
Scratch them. Scratching your scratch or
Why
something.
do they exist?
Because people are lazy and want it done quick and cheap, and like, whether a builder takes his van to me or like someone takes their Range Rover to me, I'll do the same thing on it. So
As you said, you have your process there from start to
yeah,
finish, and
exactly, and
what
that's what
it's the
I
same thing
follow
that
to a
goes
T.
through.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking hell,
And
that's.
like, as long as you follow a process, you'll always get a result.
That's so interesting. It's mad. I just find it so crazy to say that at the very beginning of this podcast, not something that's in my cards, but the fact that you talk about them with the passion that you talk about cars.
Well, that's it,
Like,
like,
I've had
and you
PTs
have to
sit
be
here and talk
passionate.
about their bodies,
And
and you're talking about more passionate about a car.
that's what I would be saying, and like, it's not even my car, it's someone else's car that I'm getting passionate about. So like, that's what I was saying about like having respect for what everyone does, because like, I take detailing very, very seriously, and like, it's a way of life for me, and like, people are taking their job, no matter, like, if you think the girl cleaning the dishes down in the restaurants, she takes that seriously. That's her thing,
Yeah.
that's her gig, like. So just people should just have a bit more respect for what everyone does, and
Yeah.
don't think you're better than someone just because you went to uni, you racked up a load of debt, and you're working some
Yeah.
job for someone else. Like, guaranteed, most of the boys that went to like uni, I was probably making more money than them they are now when they're in uni. So
No, exactly.
money, it matters, but it's not everything. Like, you know, your job satisfaction and how you feel about what you do is the most important thing. So don't worry about anyone else. Thanks. Like, obviously, I was embarrassed at the start. Like, obviously, when you say you're a bookmaker or you sell cars, people like
There's stigma.
sort of have a bit of respect for you or like think you're in a good job or whatever. But like, when you say clean cars, they're like, clean cars. Like, they don't
Do
like.
you find yourself then like do you find yourself now like jazzing it up like for what you do? Do you try and like sell it to people or do you just are you just happy enough now just go, this is what I do?
No, like, it is what it is. Either you know about me or you don't. Either you're in the car clean or you're not. Like, and you know, if you're not, I'm not gonna try and big it up. Like, I remember an uncle of mine who, like, all his kids are real academics and called into my shed once about like me selling a set of wheels for him or something. And he was like, oh, there was a 911 sitting there, and he's like, oh my god, that 911's unreal, blah blah blah. Who owns that? Told him to crack, blah 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 blah. And he was like, oh, there's another unreal one about the town of Silver, and I was like, oh, I clean it too. But like, he still didn't care. Like, do you know what I mean? He just doesn't care, and that's it. You know, he's no interest in what I do. And like, I find that about a lot of my family. They're quite stuck up about what I do and think they're better than me just because I clean cars. And it's like,
It
no,
actually
you're
like
really not. Like,
I just want like I'm actually lost for words when people say that because I can't get on that level. Like I find myself very open-minded and I can accept most people's like perspective on things, but I can't understand people that get on like that. You know, they can't
well, like
find the respect for someone
people don't
else.
know. They think you're just washing cars for a favour. They don't know you're taking cars in for a week
But then
and
again, I think maybe because maybe for personally it's different because if I see someone from school or whatever is doing something different, I will go in like be rest assured. When you started your page, I went in and fucking went through and looked at every car you're team like holy fuck, fair play to them. You know, like and went in and did research. I get really fucking what's the word inquisitive about those things. I get really interested in it. And like if someone does something I've never heard of, like what the fuck's that?
Yeah,
Go
and I
look
think
and
like
check it out and you'll learn something about it.
if someone's doing something out of the ordinary, like same as like when you started the podcast or doing the comedy and all, like I was straight on that because I was just like, fuck, fair play to Sean for
Tell you what,
writing.
I said this on the
Like, we may
podcast.
not been the closest in the alley or whatever, but like, fucking fair play for coming out and doing this here
No, because
because no one's doing it, like.
I appreciate it because like there's people I've said of people I've lived with, there's people I've said best mates with, and not once even person would they say, Joe, when seeing you out for drink or anything, and like people may not realise this, but like you take those things, you
Yeah,
know, you take
like
them things on the you sort of remember those things and you remember the person that shared your page and you remember the person that gave you like Joe, simple
yeah,
things like that,
100%. And like, it's all the lads that I wouldn't have been mates with in the alley, or wouldn't have known, or wouldn't expect that have been the ones who've come out and support my business, not the ones that I was pally with, or the ones who are maybe at the end of their cars. You know, it's
It's
always
but
the
that's what's
ones you
so
never
strange.
expect. You know.
It's like and again it goes back to probably why we can sit now and say like, you know, don't judge people because there probably was a stage everyone's done it. You know, you've looked at someone at some stage and thought, oh, we were better than them or whatever. Like everyone's been there at some stage. But now once you've been through it you sort of look and be like, fuck, I'm actually way more able to believe I didn't talk to you that much
Yeah,
than the person I thought I was best
100%.
mates with. Like
100%. Because, like, in the alley, there's a lot of, like, just in schools in general, you know, it's all very cliquey and very circly. And, like, if one lad doesn't like what you're doing, then, like, the whole group isn't going to like what you're doing. And that's just the way it is. Like, and, you know, kids these days are, I think, worse than ever. Like, and,
God,
you
I'm
know,
glad I'm not kidding.
there's no need to be. Like, and it's just everyone should just. I think it's like something you realise when you get a bit older and a bit more mature that you should just like support what other people are doing, probably.
I think it's a school thing as well. I think schools don't encourage you to accept things like that. And like, you know, if someone goes out and does something on their own, they're like, well, that's strange or that's. The word is not normal is the
Yeah,
one I
like
always hear. It's not normal. I go, what the fuck is normal?
in the Abbey, like if you weren't going to university, there was, you know,
Something
that's
wrong.
it. Like if someone in the, had to come into the Abbey and told me, if you walk out right now and go and do a trade, you'll be on 50k before your mates are even out of uni, I probably would have went nuts. Do you know what I mean? Like, so.
People have no idea. Like
There's boys there who done trades when you were going to university who are on big money now and are building houses and, you know, doing their own thing.
People
And
have no idea. Like nobody wants to get their hands dirty anymore.
no, and
Like, and
that's it. Like,
that's why, like back, say
everyone
back like
thinks
20 years ago, you couldn't charge money you're charging for a car tonight because there was loads of people that wanted to do it and get into it. But people don't want to fucking roll up their
and this is
sleeves and
it.
get
Like,
stuck in, and the people that do it are making loads.
see all the jobs like cleaning stupid things like cleaning ovens and cleaning rugs and floors and all, those are the best jobs because no one's doing them and it's harder to get those people now. Whereas, like, you know, like nearly everyone in our year in the Abbey went to the uni.
Yeah,
Like,
literally.
there maybe only a handful who didn't go to uni.
I think for me, university going to university when I didn't get in initially and reworked it and looked at it, looking back on it, it's a buying time thing. Joe, for me personally, when you go to university, it was buying time and trying to take a wee bit more time to figure shit out because didn't know really what else I wanted to do. Worked a wee bit as a lifeguard, did our things, but like, it really was. It's one, it's not free 4 years, because obviously you're going to pay it back, but it feels like 3-4 years,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I actually went back there, I want to say 2 years ago, 3 years ago maybe. Actually, well, I'm on this business 2 years, so it would be longer than that. I went back to Tech and Armagh to do A-levels to go to uni, because that's what I thought, like...
You wanted to do?
Yeah, my previous employer had it that much in my head that, like, you can't get anywhere, like... University degree and all that. And I actually applied for a job in Paddy Power doing risk trading analysis. So like basically you'd be analysing their risk and trading it off. Stuff that I've been doing at the races for years and years. And a girl with an agriculture degree got it over me.
No way.
So like I have literally 10 years experience in the field of the job that I'm applying for.
Yeah.
And a girl who'd done an agricultural degree got the job over me. So I was like, right, fuck, I really need to do something here. I was like, look, I'll try do this uni thing. Or went to Armagh Tech and done A-levels. And I remember just, like, sitting down at Christmas time. I was studying for the Christmas test. And I remember just sitting, bawling my eyes out in the middle of the night. And, like, just being like, right, I actually really just don't know how to study. I've never studied before. I don't know how to study. And just, like, freaking out and just dropped out then.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're going from earning to borrowing money off your parents to go to uni, or go just put diesel in your car to go to Armagh, to go to Tech. Like, just remember
to take a chance on getting something maybe for a bit.
Yeah,
time,
because,
like,
you know yourself, when you're in the Abbey, you're in a structure, you're doing an hour of each class every day. It's, like, it's always fresh in your head, basically,
yeah.
Whereas, like, up in Tech, you're only doing, like, maybe do 2 hours one day, nothing for 2 days, and maybe an hour, and then an hour, 4 or 5 hours a week of class. And, like, there's a massive spider on the floor there.
Before, is it?
Right there. He's a big one too. Yeah.
Nice day.
Thank God.
Well, this fucking, this podcast studio has come, like, it's like a bush dog trial these days of wasps and spiders flying and everything.
But,
I thought you'd see a ghost. I was like, what?
Just
on this
crawl across my head. I was like, what? but yeah, just wasn't for me. Just couldn't do it. Just jump straight back into work again. Like.
No, I literally couldn't. I couldn't blame you, like, at all, because, see, now, I find it really interesting. Like, I really still, I'm just not as good at school as what I was. Like, I maybe work a wee bit harder for, like, university. Personally, for me, for my degree, don't find it overly challenging, because I said, it's a test, really.
How many hours a week are you in?
9 hours is class. Like, how the fuck is that full-time anything? That's full-time study.
I actually can't believe, like, you know, that's one thing I always say to myself, like, you know, whenever... Like, a lot more of our year in uni, like a couple of years back when I was working, like, people are only in 9 hours a week. I was always sitting there, like, like, why are you not working a full time job?
See,
as well, like,
I don't understand. Like, people would be like, oh, I better head back. Like, this year especially, I've decided to fucking wise up, because, like, people are like, oh, you know, I have uni all this week, like, I have to head home to work on the weekend. You're in class for 3 hours one day, there's 24 hours in the day, there's 21 hours, you know, other hours you could be working and doing something, so you don't have to go home to your man and dad on the weekend. Like,
but it's like, you know, on a technicality, Belfast is only 40 minutes up the road. Most people shouldn't even be living there. Like,
no.
Should just be commuting.
Not a hope.
But, like, people used to always say to me, oh, do you not feel like you're missing out in uni life, or you're missing out in Belfast? I used to fucking hate going and staying in the Holy Lands.
Did you?
If I went up to Belfast on a night out, like, one of my good mates from the Abbey, he was in Coleraine, so I would have went up there a bit more often. Like, but, like, if I went up to Belfast on a night out, see, if I woke up at 8 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning, I would have been in the car on the way down the road.
Yeah.
I could not fucking stand it. It was cold, it
was
smelly.
It was the thought of it, I think.
A load of mould everywhere.
Yeah. I think it was, for me, it was like, it was the thought of going to university I really wanted. Being actually there and being home else is fucking stinking. Like,
yeah.
There's nothing attractive about it, whatever.
Nah.
But it was the thought of it, and, like, I definitely went through, like, hard times and being upset and, like, crying that my mates and all were in uni and I wasn't in uni. We just felt like a fucking loser at one stage.
I never felt like that.
Yeah,
I
that's strange.
I never missed the whole uni experience. Like, I really didn't.
But you got your buzz off, like, other stuff.
Yeah,
like,
I just never had time to slow down to realise, like, like, what I was missing, because I was always away. Like, you know, we could have been anywhere racing, like, down in Galway for a week, 7 nights, away to Cheltenham for twice a year. You know, like, you never had time to slow
time
down.
Time is such a fucking, just making it real, like, time is such an important thing to, like, hope, like, value, like, too much time you get in your head.
Like, I'm 24 now, you know, like, where is the last, like, 8 years gone since I was 16, like, you know what I mean?
It's like too much time you get in your head, not enough time, you know, you might miss certain bits and pieces they got there. And, like, the balance of just the concept of time is fucking, it's actually quite mad if you think about it. Like, because there's some pretty much identical situations. One person goes, ah, didn't really have time to give a fuck about university missing experience. And then me, with probably had too much time back then, was like, fuck, I used to get really upset and really down about myself. But if you had to do some sort of happy medium in there,
yeah.
or just kept yourself busy, would eliminate all them fucking shit nights and feeling sorry for yourself.
Yeah, like my brother, he's in a really good way in uni. Like he's studying medicine, and there's seven of them live together, and they all study medicine,
mm-hmm.
and so like they're all getting up and going the same time every day. They're going the same place. You know, they've got that drive
mm-hmm.
to get up and go to uni every day just because the other six of them are going.
Yeah.
Whereas like I feel like a couple of the boys I was mates with, you know, if you know one of their house was bunking off uni, they just weren't
yeah.
going. Or
yeah.
You know.
That's the thing. The thing is like. Put yourself, if you take anything away from my podcast, put yourself in a good fucking circle. As you said, like, your circle is, like, you know, the people around you support you, like, family, other people that have businesses, like, that's a fucking good circle.
Like, I don't need much. All
yeah.
I need is my family and my girlfriend and, you know...
Lamborghinis to clean. I'm joking.
Like, it wouldn't even annoy me. As long as I'm getting paid properly for what I'm doing,
yeah.
I don't care what I'm cleaning. I
yeah.
genuinely don't. Obviously, like, realistically, Lambos are hard work.
Yeah.
Because they're so awkward to clean, they're such an
uh-huh.
awkward shape.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you're tall man too, like it couldn't be nice.
Just as well as I'm getting paid well for what I'm doing, I don't
yeah.
care, like, you
mm-hmm.
know, I genuinely don't.
Mm-hmm.
That's just
that, yeah, I suppose that you've hit the nail on the head, like that's the important things, like, you know,
yeah,
tick them boxes. Do you
yeah.
think over the last couple of years you've, like, well, you've realised or not, you've tightened your circles, I talked about, like, you know, maybe people you were friends 100%. And I was close with and stuff, and do you think you've done it for the better?
100%.
Mm-hmm.
100%. Like, you know, like people get into a cycle of just doing the same thing with the same people every day, and I've
yeah.
definitely fallen into that cycle. And you know, now literally the only people I need is my family and my girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's it. You know,
yeah.
I don't need anyone else.
That's a good way to be, like,
because you know, to be honest, I don't have time for anyone else. I don't have time even for my girlfriend. I mean,
yeah.
I saw her yesterday for the first time in literally 2 weeks.
Fucking hell.
And like, it's
that's a good woman right there.
She's no, but she's just come to accept.
No, yeah, that's
this
me.
Is the
but
way it's gonna be.
Just the way, like fuck you, Dad. I've definitely seen before some girls, you know, get like, oh, what are you doing? Or like, you should come see me. It's like, I'm
yeah,
trying to. Like, it's nice to have someone that was on that.
You know, it can be the downfall of a lot of relationships because
mm-hmm.
it puts a lot of stress on, especially if we don't live together or anything. Like, so, like, but at the same time, I can remember her getting on about that at the start. Like, and like, you know. And I'm going to sound like such a dick for saying this. Might have to cut it out, I don't know. But like, I remember just telling my girlfriend, like, you know, my business was here before you and it'll be here after you. So
yeah.
like, are you supporting me or are you against me here? Like, so.
But see, that's not a dick thing to say. I hate when people like have that opinion because, like, you know, this is, you know, what makes you happy on a day-to-day fucking basis. What brings home the bread as well. Like, if the person doesn't like it, fair enough, not meant to be, you know, it is what it is. I know it sounds fucking absolutely ruthless, but it is what it is. Like,
yeah,
if people
like,
can accept that lifestyle, then they're not meant
you know,
to be with you, and don't waste anybody's time.
It sounds harsh, but like, you know, there's times over summer there where like I did not see my house in daylight for maybe a week. You know,
and that's summer, like when there's hours.
Summer where it gets fucking dark at 11 o'clock at night. Like,
yeah.
you know what I mean? You know, there's times you don't see your family, you don't see your dog, because like they're in bed and you're coming home, and they're
mm-hmm.
in bed and you're getting up in the morning.
Yeah.
But like. I wouldn't have it any other way, and like I really do mean that. Like
mm-hmm.
you know, I honestly don't think I'd get enough out of a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
To make it worth my while, not monetary, but like satisfaction wise.
Yeah.
Because like when you're doing something for yourself, there's nothing. You know, I always tell people like being self-employed is the hardest thing I've ever done. And
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, there'll be times that like you go home and you be crying at night, and you know you wonder why you do it and all, but.
Mm-hmm.
It is the most rewarding thing I've ever done, like, and
mm-hmm.
that's just no two ways about it, that's just it.
Fuck, that's unreal. I don't think I could end it on a better note.
Yeah.
But, just quickly before you go, I have one question that's itching my brain, and maybe you'll be able to have it. As I said, I'm not a car person,
yeah.
right? I have one question, and it's about the Northern Ireland cruise scene. What the fuck is the crack with the Northern Ireland cruise scene?
In what way?
As in,
so
like,
you're quite close to the epicentre over
yeah,
there.
I'm quite close to the Mickey D's B&Q
yeah,
car park,
yeah, yeah.
like... Do you deal with any people in that, or like, would you have friends in that?
I would have some friends in the circle, but
yeah.
I wouldn't really, there wouldn't be customers of mine, because
yeah.
the majority of them won't spend the money that I charge.
I
you
don't.
Know? Most of them are like Lexuses with exhaust cut out of them,
yeah.
so.
See, when people have like nice cars, you're saying that like, you know, you have like a fucking Lamborghini, I know they're not easy to get, but nice cars, like actual nice cars, and then there's buddies that like, a fucking Corsa from like 2006 that they've spent like $3,000 on like fucking parts, you're like,
yeah.
this makes no sense.
Well, like that's their pride and joy, like, you know,
yeah, that's
you have
what
to think of, I guess, as well as like fair enough to spend $3,000 on a piece of shit, but like they might not be able to get insured now,
yeah, fair enough, like
so,
it comes down to that, like that's fucking That's the one thing I know I said we weren't going to judge people, but the Northern Irish person, there's times I say it, I'm like, there's no way. There's no way anybody has spawned here, but I suppose each person to their own, like,
yeah.
And like, for a bit, just don't come rabbing around my fucking estate anymore.
Not be me, anyway.
Sean, any closing comments or a fucking, first of all, where do we find all your stuff?
You can get me on Instagram at Beulah Wash Violet, and same on Beulah Wash and Violet on Facebook.
So you're seeing more stuff on, well, cards and more from actually yourself on it as well, as you're saying?
Yeah.
So keep your eyes peeled for out there. And then what else? Any closing comments or anything else you want
to
throw out there?
Say, thanks very much for having me and best of luck with
no.
the podcast. Maybe
Great.
You come up and do a blog.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Day of life, Joe.
No, definitely.
But yeah, it was good. Thanks very much.
Yeah, it'd be good. Potential word, maybe just preview this, that you might be working on a podcast in the future or stuff like that. Could be down the pipeline, maybe.
Yeah, it's something that I would love to do.
Fuck, I was meant to tell you my idea, right? This is the last part, the very last
this
part.
This is a business idea.
This is a business idea.
An investor.
No. Yeah, right. Potentially, right? No. If there's anyone out there, this is a... and I want to cut in this.
Don't be... hang on. Are you sure you want to put this out?
No,
the world to see?
I do, because I'm not the guy that's going to be able to do it.
Right,
but
I'll take it.
It's a podcast, right?
Right, okay.
It's a podcast of fucking two, like, two tradies going to work in the van, and they just record themselves going down each day, through the crack, get in the van, well, lad, and then just from whatever they say, from Newry to Dublin, whatever journey it is, just record it as a podcast and upload it every couple of days. Like a Monday morning and Friday, and you get the crack on their Monday and their Friday, I think I'll be lethal.
I think it'll be the same thing every week, you know?
No, I think it'll be lethal. actually, in fairness, I've never worked a tradie, so I don't know, but in my head, I think I'd be interested as fuck in listening.
Yeah.
Unless it's just shake talk, you probably know better than me.
I don't have too many.
Yeah, you don't have too many trading stories. I don't know. Any tradesman out there, I think that's a good idea. Let me fucking know.
Any trade? I'd say a tradesman would be a good guest on the podcast.
Yeah,
get a scoop.
Yeah, that actually would. There's
yeah.
fucking. There's not anymore. People don't want to do the work. But actually, right enough, if you are a tradesperson and you want to come on, hit me up. If you're any person as Anne said to you before you come on,
yeah,
I will talk
Sean,
to anybody.
Sean
about anything.
Come on very early in the podcast series, but I decided to sit it out for
yeah.
a while.
Sean was like waiting for the right moment, the right
yeah,
time. He was trying to build his confidence.
Yeah, this would be good.
It'd be good.
Need to go out and get the face
yeah,
on
yeah.
camera now.
Yeah, put the face to the business, like.
Yeah.
Be good. But yeah, Sean, thanks so much for coming on. I really, really
Sean,
appreciate
no worries,
it. And best of luck with that ring in the future as well. Plenty more Lamborghinis and fucking all that there to come.
Hopefully, my own.
Yeah, hopefully mine. Fuck's sake. And we'll see you all again, guys, in the next episode. Cheers, Sean.